And so that's kind of my philosophy. I was glad when they said to come to me, come here. And so I'm going to be happy while I'm here. Amen. It'd be kind of like going out to eat somewhere. I was glad when they got said to go eat, but when I got there, I didn't want to eat. And you can tell that doesn't happen very often. How many of you all like to be happy? Amen. Well, good. I'm going to make a whole bunch of you happy when I start, and then I'll make the rest of you happy when I end. So you all just stay through the whole thing. Everybody's going to leave happy. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I want to give honor to Brother and Sister Worth there. Amen. So good to get to meet them. And then, of course, to my friend, and he's right. We don't talk all the time. We do talk from time to time and text, and we both share a love of music. And so usually a lot of times that's we'll be texting one another a song or something. Well, you got to listen to this. And so that's it's fun because you don't get to do that with everybody. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate his steadfastness. And the testimony that he just not has just for himself, but that is represented in his family. Amen. Praise God. I thank God for the longer I live to see families that stick together, stay together, love God together. That's no promise. There may be some here. Your children have wandered off, and that's not a testimony against you. I said, that's not a testimony against you. Some folks say, well, man, I'm just a failure. If I had done this different, I'd done that. Every parent in this room. Once your kids are old enough and gone, you're thinking, man, I wish I could have done that different. Maybe I could have done this, and especially if they leave God. But I'm going to tell you, if they leave God, ultimately that's not your fault. They make a choice on their own. And the best you can do is serve God beyond whatever they say. Whatever's been done, you stay steadfast, and it may be your example later on that they come to appreciate, and it draws them back to God. Amen. I don't know who that's for. No, not in any notes, but the Lord bless everybody anyways. Praise God. Probably for the people listening in online. All right. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 30. My mind was headed a different direction, but I feel so compelled to go this way, and I don't know if it's going to go along with what Pastor preached on Sunday on either service, but my mind was a different way, and I feel to do this. So that's what we're going to do. I've done this just long enough to know that it's better to go along with what you feel than what you sometimes walk to the pulpit with. And so 1 Samuel chapter 30, we're just going to read a couple passages of Scripture. We'll come back to the story, and then we'll go on from there. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and verse 10. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. They made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. My master left me because 3 days gone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb. And we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? He said, swear unto me by God, that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. Jesus, help us over the next few moments here. We love you. We thank you, God, for your wonderful people. I pray, God, that your word and spirit, God, would not just enter into our minds, God, where we would give an assent mentally, God, but it would enter deeply into our spirits. Now, you're aware, God, of how I came and what my mindset was, and so I trust, God, that you'll confirm your word here over the next little while, God, with every individual. We love you and we praise you. In the wonderful, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated in Jesus' name. I do not know a whole lot of the history at all of really of this church. I know that it is a miracle. Haven't been long enough in the ministry to have the former pastor on the same pew and in harmony with the new pastor. Praise God. It ought to work that way all the time, but it don't always work that way. And so that in itself is a testimony and a testament to the blessings of the Lord that is present and for what the Holy Ghost wants to give to this church here tonight. Now this text, usually, now I just want you to know that as an evangelist, I know how usually what we're most familiar with about this passage and the story. How many has ever read this story before? Is familiar with it? Okay. So you know that David and his 600 men had joined the Philistines, and they was going, their design in their mind is they was going to get out there with the Philistines and turn on them and destroy them. And the Philistines thought that's what they was going to do. And so they said, no, you can't come with us. You go back home. And so they go back home. And on the way back home, when they get there, they find that their village, Ziklag, has been raided. It's been destroyed. And the enemy, the Amalekites, have taken the wives and the children and the animal and all the stuff and went on down the road. And so this led to a very depressing situation. The Bible said that all the men begin to weep. And then they turned on the leader. Since they can't do anything about what's happened, they're going to turn on the leader. And it's here that most of, if I was a good evangelist and real fiery and was going to preach the paint off the walls, of which I'm a painter, so you'd have to keep me around and then I could do the job. And so I guess that'd be a good idea to preach the paint off the wall, but I'm not going to right now. But this, if I was a good evangelist, it's right here where I would preach and I would begin to preach about encouraging yourself in the Lord. Boy, I'd get everybody hyped right now. I could just, you got to shout. You got to dance. Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself in the Lord. And that preach is good, but that's not what that verse means. And so it really means he got down and began to take faith in prayer. And when he got up from that, then he went to the man of God. After he took courage through prayer, he went to the man of God. He went to the priest and said, hey, now let's touch God together. I've got some faith. I know what they want to do to me, but I've achieved something in God. Let's see what God would say. And so now he says, well, the Lord said to go after him. He said, well, that's good. Okay, so, but will I recover anything? And the Lord said, you're going to recover all. Man. Well, that's a blessing right there, Pastor. I mean, don't you know that when David heard those words and he told those men, we're fixing to recover everything the enemy took. Man, let's go. We're ready. Let's get out of here. Now, there was 200 of them. They was too tired. And they said, well, you stay right here and you take care of the stuff. I'll come back to that. But those that take care of the stuff. Some folks think, well, I can't go with everybody else. I'm tired. That's okay. You guard the stuff. You're just as important because I can't move as fast if I have all this stuff with me. Sometimes you need somebody to guard the stuff. So we'll come back to that. And so they take off. Woo, man, it's revival time. Everyone say revival. Woo, it's harvest time. And man, the Lord said, you're going to recover all. Get out there. And man, they take off. Well, the problem is the Lord didn't tell him where to go. That's a problem. Because they don't know where to go. Go get them. Go recover. All right, man. Woo! Dun, 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 dun. And in 3 days, I ain't got it. We don't know where we're at. I got a promise. I have the word of God. And I know that he's able. What do I do now? I'm in a field. I don't know where to go now. And the Bible said that some of the men stumbled upon an Egyptian in the field. It was a lad. Some were probably late teens. They stumbled upon a guy that for 3 days, the guy that he had served, his Egyptian master, his Amalekite masters, when he got sick and couldn't hang, they left him to die. Done with you. Kick you to the curb. Thanks for helping us get what we want, but you ain't getting none of it. You get sick, you're going to die in the world. And they find him. Now, I don't know about y'all, but now, especially, I don't know. I hope I never have to live this part of what I'm going to preach. I know how it was when I was in the world. If you had taken my wife and daughter, if you had taken my stuff, it was on. If I found somebody that had been involved in it, as this boy admits, I was with this group and we attacked Ziklag. If I understood that he was part of the purpose that I'm out there for, I'm going to take vengeance on that guy. I don't know why they didn't. I don't know if David told them, hey, if you find somebody, have mercy on them. If you find somebody, just slow down. Maybe we can find some way of where we got to go. God told us to go, but he didn't tell us how to get there. And they find him. And the Bible said that they gave him some figs. Not fig Newtons. They didn't have them back then. They gave him some fig cake and they gave him some water. This is the guy that just was responsible for taking and raising their city. We're going to feed you. We're going to help you. And he said, well, who are you? David asked, who's this guy? And he said, man, I'm an Egyptian. 3 days ago, I was with this group, and they kicked me to the curb, and they left me here to die. And I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm part of the party that we was out there, and we raised Ziklag. We took, and here, David, you all got a choice on what you're going to do with this Egyptian. He said, do you know? Watch this. This is important. David said, do you know where we can find them guys? See, God told them to go. God told them they'd recover all. But their direction and answer was going to come because they saved a little Egyptian boy. My answer is going to come. Because I found somebody in the field that couldn't do anything to help me. Matter of fact, they'd done something just a little while ago to hurt me and devastate me. And so for just a little while more tonight, I want to preach for just a little bit on, are you looking for the Egyptian? Are you, there's some of you here, there has been, there's been promises made to you, and you've been so fixated on what you've lost, and all of those things, that you're not looking for the possible individual that'll bring the promise to pass. How do I get there? Man, here's a promise. Here's just go. And I get out there, but I don't know where to go now. Look for somebody. Look for the Egyptian in the field. Have a little mercy. Have a little time to invest. And it just may be. It just may be that you grab a hold of everything that you had lost. Let's love the Lord together for just a moment here. Pastor, would you get? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Hallelujah. Pastor, would you get Jude? Jude chapter 1. If you get Jude chapter 2, you got a bad Bible. Jude 1. And if you want to turn there, you can. Now I want to talk to you about finding the Egyptian in the field that'll lead to you recovering things that have been lost. It will redefine your life in living for God. It will bring new meaning when you fall in love with the Egyptians. When you're willing to take time, brother, to feed and to water. When you're willing to take time, notice what the Egyptian told David. He told him, he said, listen, if you'll swear to me Don't send me back. Please don't send me back and don't kill me. I'll take you wherever you want to go. I'll be your answer. I'll lead you to the fulfillment of the promise. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you some examples. And we're going to give you a recipe. The Bible, when it talks about winning people to God, it doesn't give us a whole lot of do's and don'ts. It just says, go and be fruitful. Now, I'm going to tell you, I haven't prayed for many, many years for a burden for souls. I don't want a burden for souls. I've asked God for a love for souls. If all I have is a burden, it's going to be easy to take it off. If all them fellas had was a burden, I could have killed that Egyptian with no sweat. Not even thought about it. A burden will just show up when it's time for an outreach program. A burden will just show up when somebody preaches it hard enough and makes statements such as, if you don't win somebody to God, you'll split hell wide open, which is an ignorant statement, but I ain't got time to qualify that. See, parents, you don't have to have a manual to figure out how to have children. Love produces it. It's truth. If you have a love for the lost, you'll produce some children. You'll save some souls. So if I have a love, God, give me a love. Let me love them like you love them. Let me take time for them. We're going to get there. So I know that that's a different statement maybe to make than what some folks might be used to. But I'm just me. I'm just telling you what's worked for me when I've needed answers. When it seemed like everything was falling apart. So, Brother Savala, how have you stayed living for God? Pastor, I was talking here a little bit earlier today about the circumstances that come in life. And so many of our friends and even relatives have washed out, and we've went through the same stuff. What's the difference between me and them? Somewhere I really fell in love with God. God, I don't want to fail you. Humans fail me. Circumstances come that I don't understand. But God, I don't want to fail you. I want to stay in love with you. And by doing that, I start looking for somebody else I can love. Because it is the love of God through the Holy Ghost. It's more than talking in tongues. It's more than just feeling. Thank God. I don't know where you got your rhythm, son. I'd like to know who your parents are. Because, man, you was grooving up here. I like that. It's not, though, just in the dance. And it's not just thank God for all of it. But I've met a lot of folks that can do all of that. And when they walk out the doors, they ain't even got one sinner friend. They're comfortable. Matter of fact, there's sometimes those, and now it's not here, this is for everybody listening online. There's that song that we sing here once in a while. You may sing it here. It's sung all over the country, and I like it, sort of. Going to the enemy's camp, I'm going to take back what he's told from me. I always want to change the word because usually the folks that are most excited about that are the same people that give it to him back to him the next day. They ought to change the words. I'm going to him, going to take back what I gave him last week. And sometimes it's every day. Somewhere, if you're going to have victory and you really fall in love for God, the enemy don't get that stuff no more. I got it. It's mine. I'm keeping it. I've made up my mind. Now, there is no recipe for finding the Egyptians per se. And when you find them, they're going to be in some messed up conditions. They're going to they're going to look different, and they're going to act different, and they're going to say things different, and they're going to cuss, and they're going to smoke, and you're going to be sanctified, and you're going to think you're a soul winner, and you're going to go to that Egyptian when they're cussing and go, see these ears? They ain't garbage cans. And that sounds good, and you come testify about all that you did, but did it get the Egyptian anywhere? Look how holy I am. Look at how I dress. All that's important. It's got its place, that spiritual maturity. But the Egyptians don't know anything about that mess. All they're interested in is, are you going to send me back out there? Are you going to kill me? I just want a safe place. Is there anything you got to eat? Is there anything you got to drink? And your obligations, yeah, I got something. Maybe you're going to have the answer for the revival that comes in my family. Maybe you're going to have the answer that God promised me a long time ago. Now we find a little process. It's just a little process there in the book of Jude that gives us some insight. Because generally when you talk about winning the lost, everybody knows those last few verses. On some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And we can preach a lot about that. But you cannot effectively do those things without following the previous verses. The scripture says, beloved, do what? Verse 20.
Building up yourselves.
Yeah.
On your most holy faith.
Now, you know what? Let's just take a running start at this real quick. Go back. Mockers in the last days. Somewhere in there was that two verses before, I think, or something.
How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time.
Yeah.
Who should walk after their own ungodly lust.
Right.
These be they who separate themselves.
Watch this. These be they who separate.
Sensual.
Watch
having
this.
Not the spirit.
Okay.
But no. Ye beloved.
Hold on just a sec.
Building up yourselves on your most holy faith.
All right. Hold on just a moment. Watch this. The world has a doctrine of separation. The mockers come along. And the Bible said, these be they who separate themselves. Uh-huh. Now, what we do sometimes is we'll say, well, that's the sinner. No, no, no. That can be the sinner, but he's not writing to sinners. He's writing to the church. And he said, in the last days, there's going to come some mockers in the church. But they're separating themselves to the sensual. They separate themselves to the excuses. Even in the church. Well, I can't do that because of this. Well, that's not going to work because of that. Well, that person does it. You know what, Brother Saval, you're a people person. And that's why God uses you that way. Are you a people? Are you a person? You're a people person. There's folks you interact with, I never will. So that means the people person that God's using to touch their life has got to be you. That means somewhere I've got to change my mentality. Somewhere I've got to have God do something in my heart that'll separate me to Him so I can feel for them. Now we get to verses that we are well acquainted with as apostolics, and that is praying, building up yourself on your most holy faith. Before I get to pulling people out of the fire, God, let me get somewhere where I can pray in the Holy Ghost. Let me get somewhere where you ain't got time for testimony, and I'm not going to do that here right now. But I was raised around and in Pentecost for years, and then in and out of foster homes and all kinds of stuff and convoluted, a lot of mess. But, and many of you probably won't remember. How many here remember the prophecy crusades of the early 80s and late 70s, early 80s? I mean, remember those? Okay. There was a guy that a lot of folks hadn't heard of. never mind. And I just you got that one, Elder. Hallelujah, old herd. Anyways, and he traveled the country. Big revivals. Big revivals. He'd have slides and most of you younger, those of you by 1992, the Berlin Wall come down. Do you know about the Berlin Wall? Yeah. Okay, good. What you don't know is our generation, before that came down, there was a lot of fear about nuclear war. And so while that was so significant to us, most of our drills in public school, way back they called them bomb drills. But then it scared all the kids, or at least scared the parents. And so now they call them earthquake drills and tornado drills and all that. And so little bells would go off, and you'd crawl underneath your little wooden desk, as if your wooden desk is going to stop you from getting vaporized by a nuclear bomb. But nonetheless, all of that was that's how, you all don't know nothing about that. And so the importance, the drive of that, when he'd put up a big picture of a mushroom cloud, and he would say, if you're not saved, if you're not born again of the water and spirit, when this happens, this may be the last sound you ever hear. And he'd play the sound of a nuclear bomb. And in today's world, people just sit around and laugh because everybody's desensitized. But back then, that was still a big deal. And that bomb would go off, and the altars would fill up with people that were scared to death that Jesus was coming in the next 20 minutes. And people would pray through, and they'd really get the Holy Ghost, and God would really move on them. But they were praying out of a spirit of fear. And so in a couple of weeks when Jesus didn't come, they was going to go back and do their thing. Because fear only motivates so long. Now, I'm 9 years old, and somewhere between 9 and 10, I live in the projects of Southern California. But man, that so gripped me, seeing people stirred that way. And I didn't ask nobody if I could do this. I wanted to see somebody get the Holy Ghost. I wanted to see something happen. So I didn't get any permission or anything. I cut out pictures out of Time magazine of mushroom clouds and stuff. And I made my own little bomb out of popsicle sticks. And I had God's honest truth. And I had the recording of Brother Hurd and the nuclear bomb is on the tape. And I had my little tape recorder over there. And my first Bible study was End Time Prophecy as a 10-year-old and the Oneness of God. No, you don't want to hear it, and I ain't even going to try it. And so, but it was really good to my 10 friends or so that was in my bedroom, and it was going good, and they were in awe. But when I hit the button and the bomb went off, they went out the front door. All of them ran out the front door, and their parents said, "You can play with that boy, but you ain't ever going back in his house again." I was trying. But I didn't have the love of God. I had back then what they used to call an understanding of the Word of God, just enough to sword fight. But sword fighting doesn't win anybody. Sword fighting kills. Over the years, there's folks, and it may be even here, boy, a revelation of the mighty God in Christ. And boy, I told that Jehovah's Witness something. And boy, I left them in a question and they couldn't answer. And man, I won the argument. But did you win the soul? Did I win them? And so over years, again, I don't have time, but praying in the Holy Ghost. And the Lord allowed me to finally return to Him when I was in my early 20s and didn't think I was going to preach, didn't think all that. I wasn't even certain I could be saved. And obviously, God was not kind, and I'm saved today. And so, another story. But where a lot of this congealed for me was after the Lord had let me come back, and I grabbed, I wanted to teach, I wanted to help somebody. And I began to teach some Bible studies. In one of my early Bible studies, I got into about 4 or 5 weeks of that study. And boy, I had my little chart. I was doing good. And I walked up the front door, and the man said, "Hey, Joe, we're glad you're here." I said, "But we're not going to need you to come teach us Bible study anymore." "Oh, what happened?" "Well, my wife and I are getting a divorce, and so we thank you for your time. And I went and I sat in my car, Pastor, and I started to weep. How did I, as a Holy Ghost-filled child of God, have four opportunities in their home? And I missed on all four of them, not being sensitive to what their really need was. I was so intent, Pastor, on getting them to Acts 2:38. Here's the chart. I want to tell you what I know. My motive was right, but I was off. I missed something. And in so doing, I can't go back to that again. I can't go back and redo it. They're divorced. It's all done. God gave me opportunity for an Egyptian, and I missed it because I was too intent on what I wanted to see. Well, Brother Savala, I may only get one chance at him. Well, maybe that one chance isn't Acts 2:38. Maybe that one chance is showing him the love of God and kindness and sowing something that the next guy comes along and waters. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. If I can pray in the Holy Ghost, maybe. Now, I'm just going to say this. I know folks say, well, if I pray, we're going to pray and fast and God will send them in. That's not in your Bible. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest would send forth labors. God already provided the opportunity for everybody to be saved. He's just looking for folks to go out and get them. And I'm just going to tell you, I preach, and I can preach this because I live it. It's one of the things I don't like about evangelizing is I can't work with people like I really want to. I miss. There is nothing in this world like sitting across the table, sitting in a living room, and talking about the Word of God. I'm not standing on anybody's table. I'm not yelling and screaming. There's no choir and music. But you watch the Spirit of God come down and tears begin to come. And you watch the Egyptian as they start going, don't kill me and don't send me back. And you start feeding them and God starts opening a door. And it's not long. I'm talking to some young people. You want to preach? You feel a call of God on your life? This is just Joe Savala. But when I was pastoring, if you weren't a soul winner, you weren't getting up and telling folks anything in the pulpit. You get out there and find you an Egyptian in the field. Before you start talking about folks needing to be saved from a pulpit, have a record. Know what it's like to have the love of God. Show it on somebody's heart and mind in their home. Just me. It's not doctrine, it's just me. And so, I got to have this. I got to have a prayer life. I'm just going to tell you, there's folks that pray more than Joseph Allen, and I know they do. But they're not soul winners. And they're really not interested in soul winning. But they got a prayer life. You going to make me choose? I'll pray. But let me get around some folks. Let me get around some. Everybody in this room, you ought to have some sinner friends. Oh, I'm not talking about in the abstract, like, yeah, we're friends at work. I'm talking, you ought to have some sinner friends you don't go to the movies with them. You don't go to the ball games. You don't go to the dance halls with them. But, man, you can go and have a hamburger with them. I mean, and you ain't even talking about God. You know one of the things about churches that a lot of sinners, it doesn't work? You know why? Because they already have a mentality. The only reason, sis, that you want to be my friend is for me to come to your church. And that's fool. That's the spirit of this world. What can I get out of you? What can I get out of you? And they look at church folks, the only thing that you want me for is to come in and give money. The only thing you want me for, you're really not concerned about me. Whew. And so, if I pray though, I pray in the Holy Ghost enough that I become familiar. Here's the purpose for praying in the Holy Ghost, folks. It's not just, now the Bible says building up yourself on your most holy faith to build up faith. What's the faith for? Not just to be saved, to develop a sensitivity to how God would move for others. 20 years ago, there was a lady in a revival we was in. She would come down, and I mean, she was, I mean, there's three pastors here, and so we all, there's some folks, and this lady was like that. She, anything you asked, boom, it was going to be done. If you even casually mentioned it, you had to be careful because, you know, man, I'm thinking about doing this, boom, they love God so much, and just boom, we're going to go do it. We'll find a way to get it happen. But every altar service, she'd be at the altar weeping and crying just for herself, pray with nobody, tears flowing. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, it bothered me. I told the pastor, I said, would you mind if I talked to her? I went down during one of the services. I said, sister, I said, I've been praying about you. I said, I don't feel like there's any sin or anything like that. I said, what's going on? Why this isn't right. It's like you're grieving her. She goes, Brother Savala, I'm a backslider. I came back. I forget how long she told me. It had been a little while. She said, I'm a backslider. She said, and I left my pastor, and I should have listened to him, and my kids went with me. And I came back to God, but my kids won't come. And I keep asking to come to revival, and I want to see him saved. If I just had to left, they'd be in church. I said, sister, there's nothing you can do about what's the past. I said, you've repented. You've come back to God. I said, here's what I want you to do. I said, you don't talk to them no more about church. You love them. They're your children. So you don't talk to them about church. You don't invite them to revival. I said, you take all that love that they're rejecting, and you go find you a soul to pour it on. You go find you somebody. That love of God that's trying to be shed abroad, and the only place you're pointing it is on personal people. But they're lost to you right now. The enemy, you got to find an Egyptian. And if you can find somebody over here, it just might be the key and the person that's going to get your family back. Well, she actually listened. She got in contact with the lady and started having, I mean, this all happened in the space of just a couple months. She got in contact with an elderly lady and for several weeks having a little Bible study. She's so excited. Oh, man, Brother Worth, she was just excited about how God was using her. And I mean, just a joy came. And you could just tell it was something different about Sister Marcel. And then 2 weeks, she lost contact with the lady. Couldn't find where she was. Had prayer. She's almost depressed. And I said, look, we're just going to keep praying. The pastor was out of town. We was in a long revival by this time. And the pastor was out of town. And finally, she remembered she had a number for the daughter. And she calls the daughter. She said, oh, we're so glad you called. She said, my mom's been in the hospital for 2 weeks. And just today, they sent her home on hospice. They're not giving her but just a few days to live. She said, well, could I come see her? Oh, she'd love to see you. And so, boom, she goes over to the house that night. This is a lady that just a few weeks before wouldn't pray with her, wouldn't pray with anybody. She was so consumed. Oh, she loved God. But the love of God was restricted in her life to her immediate area. And she had been so used to being rejected that she thought, that's just where I'm going to live. But she had found a place to begin to put the love of God. She went that night, and we get a phone call about 11 o'clock. This sister that just a few weeks before had been so depressed prayed that lady through to the Holy Ghost. Now, God touched that lady. She comes to the church. They baptize her. While they're baptizing her, the daughter's standing at the baptistry. She gets the Holy Ghost there. They baptize her. Just a week or two later, the lady passes away. Isn't that say rather we was there a long time? Thank God that all the revivals again. You heard me long enough already, and you wouldn't wonder. I mean, I was there 6-7 months, and that's a long revival. And so this lady, she's seeing the hand of God work. There's excitement. And when her backslidden daughter comes with the boy she's shacking up with, and she says, "Mama, I really don't understand everything, but we want a Bible study. And Javier wants to know what all this Christian Pentecostal stuff is." And so my wife and I got to teach her child a little Bible study. And just a few weeks into it, a mama who 3 or 4 months before was dejected and oppressed and depressed sees her daughter and her daughter's boyfriend pray through the Holy Ghost. That's been almost 20 years. Today, that couple is an assistant pastor and pastor's wife in a church because somebody said, "We're going to stop focusing on all this and find me an Egyptian. Find me somebody that just wants some life." Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keeping yourself in the love of God, not God in love with you. I'm quoting this back in Jude. I'm trying to hurry. I'm going too long. Keeping yourself in the love of God. Looking for the mercy. Oh, we all want mercy for us. I need mercy. But am I willing to look for the mercy for others? Oh, I see how they are. I was raised in the hoods, and then I pastored a church, started getting a church going in San Bernardino, Highland, California. And man, I had four pot shops in our strip mall. We had real high church, and I mean it was crazy. I'm gonna tell you something. You show the love of God to people, it don't matter if they're a biker or a gangbanger. And I had both groups there in Highland. There wasn't any normal sinners. I'm just telling you the truth. There wasn't just regular sinners. I had them pulling guns in front of the church. I had them using the restroom on the wall while I was pastoring. I loved that one. They only did that 2 or 3 times. I waited for them to get around over there by the wall, and they couldn't go anywhere once they got started. So I'd walk around and say, "Hey, you know, this is a church, and you need, man, we'd really like for you to come to church. They ain't got nowhere to go." Yeah, one of them families came and prayed through the Holy Ghost. Said, "Man, my wife could go to, she could go to our church that we had there in the middle of the night. Everybody else is scared." Them folks respected some good church folks that was just nice to them. Oh. I love people. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your background is. I just love you. Why? Because he loved me. I was unlovable. But he said, "I love you. And God, I want your love." Looking for the mercy, not retribution. Looking for mercy. "You don't know what they did to me. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." "Well, they hurt me. They did this to me. They..." What have you done to Jesus even after coming to the Lord? So they don't have any of the opportunity that we have. They're just laying out there in the field. Oh, not all of them want it. There's a whole group of Amalekites that they didn't want anything. They just kicked the guy to the curb. But that one was the answer. "Go recover all I ain't going to tell you how to get there. Let's see if you have mercy. Let's see how much you'll love the Egyptian in the field. Or will you kill your answer? Looking for the mercy. And then, and only then, can I get to the place where I start pulling them out of the fire. Where I have compassion. Well, I could tell you a whole bunch of stories. What time is it? I'm not going to go that long. 8:38. How old are you, son? You need to find yourself somebody that you can invest yourself in. Somebody your age. Well, I don't know. I don't know how. Oh, I didn't either. I mean, I was an introverted kid. I know. I just told you I went out and found a Bible study. I can't explain all this stuff. Well, as long as it was about the Bible, I was okay. But I was afraid of folks and all that stuff. And God gave me victory over that. God will give victory to you too. And right now, I don't even have to know. I ain't talking to your pastor. I'm just going to tell you, there's folks saying, you're agreeing with me because you know what's right. But you won't do it. It's a challenge because I've got to change. And this is just how I've always been. And I'm a good person, and you are. And you love God, and you do. Or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't. None of us would be here if we didn't love God. But it's bigger than us. It's bigger than our personal families. Could it be that some of you that are so reticent? I don't want to have anybody negative towards me. Could it be that God's just waiting on one of you to find somebody in the field? To find somebody that's hurting. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let's love the Lord together right now. God, we thank you for your spirit, for your word. God, upon young people. God, whatever it was that you stuck in my life and allowed me, I pray that it would come upon some of these here today. God, I may be forgotten, but God, don't let these words be forgotten, Lord, with some here. God, let it change their lives. God, not just for a moment, but for an eternity. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Now, I told you I was going to come back to the point of the 200 that were left. They were tired. There are some. You haven't met my wife, obviously, and I am married happily. She just, my mom, who's 80 years old, moved in with us last year, and so my wife can't travel with me as much as she once did. And so, but my wife is, she's an outgoing person, but she's not the type of individual to really just go out and meet people and door knock, you know, just strangers. Now, her husband's crazy enough to do that. I make up for the loss. But I'm going to tell you something. You get a visitor in the house of God. You get a new convert in. And that lady is all over them. She can take care of the stuff. If you're an individual that, man, that's not, I want to, and you try and it's just not worked out. If it doesn't work that way for you, you be the person on the inside of the building that whatever needs to be done to keep a soul, to help a soul, I'll do everything I can there. I may not be able to go talk to everybody out there, but if they get in this building, they ain't leaving without a handshake. They ain't leaving without me getting their number. They ain't leaving without an invitation somewhere. Because now they've come. See, there's no excuse for anybody not to do something. The Lord God said that the harvest is white. White. Now, I was raised in the city. I wasn't in agriculture. I got kicked out of ag class in middle school. So, But I know enough about it that they say that when the harvest is white, it's at the last stages before you begin to lose the harvest. And it is so tender when it's white that just walking through the field, your pant leg or arm brushing up against the stalk can cause it to fall. And the Lord said, He said it 2,000 years ago almost. That's how white the harvest is. Just looking for someone that's looking for mercy. So full of the Holy Ghost that when it just brushes up against that white harvest, you don't got to work and jerk and just brush it up. I got it in my basket. How'd you get it? I don't know. I was just in love with Jesus, and I'm looking for mercy, and I just bumped up. You ever know there's some folks, it's like, how do they get to people all the time? How do they always touch people? How do they always have? There's somebody that's just bumping around in the harvest. I just love folks. I'm just trying to do something for God. It's not a burden. I'm just looking for an Egyptian. I'm just looking for somebody in the field. Everybody here knows somebody that you can touch. But will you? Is it just an invitation that you're interested in doing? Oh, Lord, don't help anybody be home. I leave my fly. Why is that funny? Because we've all done that, including this preacher. But that's how a lot of folks do it. Hope nobody's home. Leave my little flyer. Leave my little track. Put it on the windshield and go on down the road. Look what I did for the Lord. Well, it's something. It's better than nothing in some cases. But that's really not going to do the job. It's going to take folks that God's made promises to. Go recover all. I'm talking to some folks. I may be way out right now, but I'm talking to some folks that you do have some family members that's gone. And God's made you some promises. And you're, God, I'll wait for the problem. I'm waiting for him to come in. I'm praying. I'm fasting. But what are you doing about the rest of the harvest? It could be that you going and finding someone else will be the key to opening your son, your daughter, your spouse to come into the Lord. And it may be your pastor. It may be one of these young men. It may be one of these young couples that when they come in, I want a little Bible study. I got to understand it better before I make any commitments. And all of a sudden, you're teaching somebody else's child, somebody else's spouse. And all of a sudden, they're praying through the Holy Ghost. And that's the one God raises up for some other great thing to come in the Spirit. But of all you're waiting for is for God to find him first here, you may be missing Egyptian after Egyptian after Egyptian. Now, God, you and I know I could go a whole lot longer with your people. And, Lord, you're not beating them up today. It's a challenge. God, for their good people, they love you. Lord, they will serve you. You saw our worship here and our praise, and it pleased you here just a little while ago. God, now your word is a challenge. God, there's some that they have a hold of this. But God, there's quite a few that don't. They believe it, God. They've even agreed because they know it's right. But God, somewhere they just don't have the faith to pursue it. I'm asking you, God, that in this service, you would let these words ring in our hearts and minds. Beyond this service. God, that it would not be something that we just feel and respond to over the next few moments. But God, these words would ring in our hearts and minds. And that, God, there would be some. God, it's not a lack of faith. I know not all will rise to this. That doesn't mean that they're lost. They just don't see it yet. But God, there's some here that their eyes are opening like never before. God, I'm asking you, Lord, the promises that's been made to this church body of revival and harvest, God, would come to pass by a few that begin to look for Egyptians like they've never looked before. That God, you will lead us with these Egyptians that are found to a place of recovering everything that you've promised us. We love you. We praise you. Would you lift your hands right where you are right now? Let's love the Lord together. Let's love the Lord together. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. God, every one of us in this building feels a degree of condemnation. Every one of us has missed an opportunity, including this preacher. God, there's nothing we can do to go back. All we can do is go forward. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. Keeping ourselves in the love of Christ. Praying in the Holy Ghost. We love you. We love you. Now, I want you, while you're praying, we're not going to have an altar call on this. I'm going to tell you why. A service like this, where there is encouragement and a challenge at the same time. If you're not careful, you'll come and you'll pray. And you'll pray through. And you'll pray it off of you. And you'll walk out the doors going, boy, that was a good service. That was a good message. And you'll remember it for a little while. It's like the man looks in the mirror, sees his face, and then walks away and forgets what manner of man he was. So I want everybody to bow your heads. Close your eyes. And I want you to get in your mind someone other than you've always talked to or invited. Somebody. You know, let me tell you this story real quick. Let's just look up here real quick. I'm going to be done. Let me tell you how this works. 3 months. 3 months it took to win Leanna. Went to a restaurant. I was pastor and I'd made up my mind. I told my wife and daughter, I said, you don't tell this lady that we go to church or I'm a pastor. We ain't going to say anything about it. I said, we're just going to go in. And we're going to see if God won't let us win this girl. Single mom. We just kept coming. She knew we went to church. Oh, you coming from church? Oh, yeah, yeah. Didn't invite her. Didn't give her a church card. We just made up my mind. We're just going to be kind to her. I want her to know we're interested in her first. Found out she was a single mom, little kid. Christmas time rolls around. Said, you know what? We're going to give a little something, quite a bit, something extra on the tip. She began to cry. I said, ma'am, I said, Leanna, my wife and I both come from broken homes. We was raised by our moms. I said, we believe in what you're doing. Just keep on doing it. Just have a nice little Christmas little time. No church. Well, and one Sunday she wasn't there. We'd go in every Sunday after church. One Sunday she wasn't there. Another lady waited on us. She said, "Now I know you go to church. Where do you go to church?" And we told her. She said, "Well, who is the pastor there?" "You're the pastor?" I said, "Huh? Does Leanna know that?" I said, "Nope." She said, "Well, can we come to your church?" I said, "Sure." Then I gave her a card. We come back the next week. Leanna's there. "You never told me you were a pastor." I said, "You never asked." "Well, what church do you go to?" Told her. "Can I come?" "Love for you to come." 3 months. A relationship. Had I just walked in there? "Hey, you need to come to my church." "Why?" "You need the Holy Ghost." "What's that and why?" "We love you, Leanne, and whether you come to my church or not, it don't matter." And when time comes, her first service walking in the door, her very first church service, she got the Holy Ghost on a Sunday. We baptized her that night. Lived for God. 3 months. "Oh, I want everybody to come right now." "What will you do with everybody right now? What about just taking time to feed them and water them and spend time just letting them feel the presence of God?" Everybody in this room has somebody in mind like that. Every head bowed, every eye closed for another moment. If you do, I want you to make a commitment to the Lord. Just one. Oh, I believe in having more, but you got to start with one. "God, this one, if you'll allow me, help me to be sensitive. I'm going to begin to minister to this Egyptian right here. From the youngest God of these children to the oldest adult here, I'm asking you, God, that you would hear their voices. Now I want you to make a commitment to the Lord. And it's only going to be between you and him. I want you to talk to him. Let him hear your voice. Tell him what you're going to do. All right, doesn't take long. Stand with me here tonight. Look at your neighbor and smile. That's where it starts. Hard to win somebody to God without being happy about what you're getting ready to do. Now, God, you heard. You saw. Lord, there's not a pastor in this world that can enforce it. Not a preacher, not a parent, not a spouse. It's got to come, Lord, as a vow to you from their hearts. I'm asking you, God, that you would take these principles, this word, and help them to remember, to be challenged, to accomplish the things that you have for them. That, God, we really will recover all. And, God, a great revival. Not just numerically, but God, a revival of spirit like we've never known would come because of our efforts in the field with the Egyptians. We love you. Would you lift your hands all across the building as Pastor gets ready to come? Let's thank the Lord for his presence and his word. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. We magnify you. In the name of the Lord.